Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back, readers, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Lathryn introduces Fire to Ice, Rael receives news of Hagen, Squash meets a fairy tale, and Zoltana flirts with a beautiful princess. Our heroes persuade Hester to give the folks of the Vortex a chance to visit the well, or at least he agrees to speak with them. Once the thief problem has been taken care of, Hester and the Herd take the team towards Red Rock City, where they meet an elven princess from a storybook. How many times has Hester transformed since coming into Bellum? Who built Red Rock City? And will Zoltana get a chance to speak with Lillian again? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die. Before you find yourself in front of the library. There are statues that go up this very long staircase, up to the wall of this library that apparently has no door. On the left side of the staircase, you see that there are 5 statues. On the right-hand side, you see there is another 5 statues. The person is the same in each, but something about each of the statues is slightly different. The first statues that you come across are wearing heavy armors and carrying ginormous weapons, like comically large weapons, like you would think you'd see in Soul Calibur 2. They're so big, so anime, they are massive.
Whoa, that's
from
a nightmare.
Swords
wow.
To, yes, like swords to hammers to whips, the such like. The weapons in the first 2 statues' hand on either side are massive. The armor is very detailed. You can see that they are very... Although the muscles on each of the statues are quite defined, their faces are virtually blank. The second set of statues on the left and on the right, notice that they're only clad in armor. Those large weapons are gone. The third, no armor, but the weapons remain. The fourth, completely nude. No armor, no under armor, no weapons, nothing. And the fifth are just skeletons. What do y'all want to do?
Did you say this was a singular, like, hall? Or is this more of a hallway with another entrance or exit?
So this is, like, you find yourself in, like, a very big cavern. In that, you're still in that same town area that you were when you met Lily Annette. That's where you met her. You find yourself basically outside of a library building. There is a big staircase that goes up with statues either side. But when you look up at the library, there's no door straight in front of where you would expect to be at the top of the staircase. Yeah, that's what you have.
All right. I guess we just climb the stairs, unless you guys want to try to solve the puzzle before we get asked the quiz.
Yeah, you're absolutely able to climb the stairs. You hear, as you go up the steps, you can just hear your steps echo around, and you kind of hear that kind of, not exactly like a giggle, but a kind of like a knowing chuckle as you hear Lily begin to walk away.
Squash has got to keep an intent eye on the statues, because I'm assuming Lily knows something that we don't know.
You can take a perception check, or y'all can take an investigation check, whatever tickles your fancies.
Well, I think I'm going to go for investigation because it's more fun.
Do you think if we die here and our skeletons are here and then our skeletons are made into cool armor and then because bones are valuable, like I said last episode...
What's an episode?
And then you came here to fight. You could wear your own bones.
Wow. Raw, I think you're having an episode right now.
I think you could do that. I don't know what happens to the bodies of people who die here. There does seem to be wildlife. But the wildlife might actually just be people that have died and come back so many times they have completely and utterly lost any sense of peopleality, since humanity gets me yelled at.
Sentience.
Lost any sense of sentience. But, like, I was thinking about it yesterday. Do you think there was no food in Bellum to begin with? They just had to eat each other? I don't know why, it's been in my head since we came and since we've got kind of Bellum explained to us, and it's like I don't think there are farms here. I don't think anybody makes bread. And it's just the kind of horrible thing that Bellum would probably do, where like the only food was other people.
Squash?
Yeah.
Laffian holds up a hand and makes a little like illusory box appear.
Uh-huh.
I want you to take all of those thoughts that you're having right now, and I want you to put them in this box. And then we're going to throw this away forever. We're on another plane of existence, and you're asking how they are sustaining themselves.
What are they going to do? Starve? Squash?
What are they going to do? Die?
I think the better question is... why does he need to eat? Why do they need to eat?
I think they do. I mean, if they had no needs, then like they wouldn't.
Okay. All right. Hey, Squash, I have a question. Could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
I'll take the statues on the right. You take the ones on the left. Why don't we, do the looking thing? See if there's any traps or, if they suddenly are going to jump out.
I'll stop with the talking and do with the looking. I'm sorry. It's just been on my mind. I'm sorry.
If we weren't in the middle of wherever we are, I would be fine with it.
Okay.
You're welcome, V.
I hate you. All right, so go ahead, do your rolls. Perception, investigation, whatever suits your fancy.
Since all the beasts and stuff here were one-time other people, if you're eating animals, are you still technically eating people because they were once people?
Oh my god.
That's what I was asking, but
there's no way around
that.
It. You might as well just eat anyone.
V, if you want to throw a random encounter at us, I don't blame you at all.
No problem. You're about to fail whatever quest you're about to do. Fine.
I think Squash and Raul are sharing, like, nervous looks.
Sharing brain cells, maybe.
Cell.
Hey!
No. There's at least two. One of them's just on vacation at the moment.
The other one's on sabbatical. It got injured from overuse.
Ow! Fuck you, Aether. Oh,
fuck yeah, dude.
All right. So, what are your results?
I got a 24 on a perception.
And I got a 33 on investigation.
Okay.
It's my one good thing.
Squash and Laffian, you notice that the arms of each of the statues can be moved, so they can be manipulated in any sort of fashion. You can see it's like a rotator cuff, so as much as you could move an actual arm, is how much you can move each of the arms on these statues. Lafion, on your 33, as you are moseying around, having a look at this, that, and the other, you notice that there is something carved kind of on the steps as you go up. It's really small and very faint and worn away with time, but you can see this. Is there a chance? You can read anything, right? Is that you?
Not unless I spend points for it. So if you tell me that's something... Oh, wait, actually, wait, because it's...
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. It's written in common. It's written in common. You'd be able to read it.
Oh, I could, actually. I can read anything if I focus on it.
I can read it, too.
Raul, stop it.
Raul, you're too busy philosophizing. Okay. Dear listeners, can somebody please make fan art of Raul as a velociraptor?
Ooh.
It tells the tale of, it's quite intricate. There's a lot of detail written in and upon on these stairs. And it tells the tale of a war, recent in what was written, but you could guess by the wear and tear, thousands, if not more, years ago. It tells the tale of when we self-determined our own fates. It tells the tale, and a name you recognize pretty instantly, of Soren Arkwright. As you read through this accounts of having to step up because we've taken our choices, our fates away from the hands of the gods, you read a phrase, armored only with our wits and armed with weapons forged of the gods, we fought and we won, but the cost was heavy.
Do any of these statues look like Soren?
The ones on the right, they kind of do all have like blank-ish expressions, but there is something about the nose, something about the jawline that looks kind of familiar. The other set of statues, not quite so familiar.
Do any of them look like Emil?
No.
Okay.
Wasn't Soren a human?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, this is rather interesting.
Squash is like pondering if he should manipulate one of the hands. That's not. Yeah. Did you find something?
There's writing here telling a story and it mentions Soren.
The human? One of the six?
Right.
Seven?
Five.
Shit.
I was wrong on all accounts. Fine. One of the seven. What does it say? Can the DM post it in chat?
Why am I suddenly getting a nosebleed? You've said a cursed word.
I can give you a summary of what was said.
Oh, okay. did you make up that story?
Yeah. I can give you a summary because, like all my notes, it's a bullet point. Unless I give you a handout, whatever I say, it's not verbatim.
You need to be cancelled, V. That is insane. That is. I 100% thought that was written. Oof, all right.
What is around beside, like, so it's the statues, the arms move, they're wearing, like, various degrees of armor. They have overly large weapons.
Yes.
Is there anything else in this room?
So you're not in a room. You're in the giant cavern where the rest of the town is.
But this is a library, right?
We're walking up a stairway towards a building that looks like the library.
Oh, okay. Yes. I thought this was like a what's the fucking word?
Like an antechamber room.
Yes, no. Thank you.
No, this is just one of those like cool steps outside the library that lead up, and there are like statues either side of them. But there's no door at the top of the staircase. Is what you would expect there to be. There is nothing. It's just a wall.
If I go look at Squash's side. Mm-hmm. Do the arms look like they move there?
Yep. All 10 statues have movable arms.
Do all 10 have weapons?
Nope, only the ones I described as having weapons. So the first set and the third set.
I don't know what to make of this.
I don't. So, fourth wall break here. Lore-wise, do we know about the self-determining war? I feel like it came up when we met.
The time when we fought back for our fate?
Yeah.
Yep, you've heard about that before. The Mistress of Fate, I believe, spoke to some of you about it.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure our characters know. Well, it seems to reference the when the sentient races fought the gods for their fate, but why it's mentioning Sorin is very strange. I did not think he had been revived, but I guess he was at some point. Unless he follows different rules from the rest of us. Because I know humans have short lifespans. They're like us, the halflings. We have short lifespans.
Maybe same rules like Emil?
Have I ever gotten lichy vibes from Sorin? I know I have never literally talked to the man, but that's just because I don't want to force you to do things.
I'll give a roll for me.
So, my instinct is to argue insight, but my insight is genuinely trash.
Then I feel like insight is probably the role for you.
Oh, 20. I rolled a 16.
Nope.
Never gotten any.
The only thing you really have ever felt or seen or observed in Sorin is that he's kind of closer friends with the book than most of the other seven that you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a good person. Seems with the god magic and stuff. Was super upset when Amir died. Don't get any real litchy feelings like you do off of Emil. Nothing like that. But you do, you have heard the book speak about the fact that Sorin is like really super old.
The book.
Although you may not have been listening to the book, and that's also fair.
I believe the book has mentioned that Sorin has been around for a long time, but I did not assume centuries, decades.
I mean, it's not impossible.
I feel like it should be. Like, unless you're revived, there's no way to, like, extend your life.
Isn't there? I mean, look at Zoltana as a perfect example.
Zoltana's an edge case, thank you very much.
But that proves that it's not impossible.
I am not edgy.
No, we didn't say that. You we're saying you're an outlier.
I'm not an outlaw anymore.
No, you're calling her a liar.
Not an outlaw. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry.
Casey, I love you.
Who's Jesus? I've never heard that name before, Millie.
Who the fuck is Jesus?
You'll learn about that one later. There's more than one universe.
I mean, sure, there's magic we don't know about. I don't know, I feel like it would have come up if he was like, Squaws like looks up and is counting in his head, millennia old. That's right, I had to think of a bigger word to describe how old this motherfucker is.
Mm-hmm. It's not unheard of, so doesn't surprise me. Then again, I also was living for 50 years with a semi-immortal being in my mind, so who am I to say?
I guess there are exceptions when it comes to the gods.
Well,
I think we should, like, Squash, like, points at the seam where the hands can be moved. Like, I'm assuming you noticed this. The hands can be moved, but I don't think we should mess with that until we know what we should be doing.
That is... I'm torn between saying yes and no on that. Because part of me is... rather curious to see if maybe there's some sort of mechanism where if we turn it to the right spot, it'll make a little click or something. Then again, maybe that click will just be something shooting out at us. Why don't we wait here? You go check the top of the stairs, see if maybe there's something else written. And if anything, you give us a shout.
Where did Laffian find the writing? Was it on stairs?
It's on the stairs.
On the stairs themselves. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, sure. I'll take a couple of steps up and try to find some more information.
Just watch for traps, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Squash is taking his sweet time climbing the rest of the stairs, watching out for traps, and striding.
Doing like that cartoonish, like the lifting one foot, put it down slowly, lift the other.
No, I like the idea that he's an absolute professional and it looks like he's just walking up. But there's no sound. It's like, how the fuck is he doing that?
He glides like uncomfortably, like the silent man and Buffy do that. They move around.
Yeah, the gentlemen.
Yeah, the gentlemen.
They just glide.
Yeah.
Oh, they're freaky. So freaky. Let me just quickly read some things. As you are sneaking up, your passive perception is what?
39.
20 something.
29?
Let's go 28. You have enough to see it. Looking around, you can tell that some of these, you notice that all around the third statues, both sides, as you're kind of walking up, you notice that there are what looks like really tiny slots and holes. And as you look up and around, like up in the ceiling, you can, quite a distance away, you can see that there are some stick-looking things with kind of, you know, arrowheads on them. You notice that above and around the third one. But as for the others, you would require additional checks.
Alrighty then. Investigation or perception?
Arcana.
Uh-huh. 25. I rolled a 17.
25. On a 25, you notice that the first set of statues on them definitely have a glimmer of magic about them. Like, you get closer to them, you can almost feel it vibrating in the air around them. It's quite powerful magics. As you get to the fifth set of statues, the ones that are basically just skeletons, you put your hand near it and like almost instantly you can tell there is something very magically wrong with this. There is something not great about these skeleton statues. And as you get to the top of the staircase and as you kind of look and observe the wall in front of you, you can tell that there is definitely some sort of like transformation type magic
on the wall itself.
Yep.
All right. Squash is gonna get back down and reconvey the information to the guys.
We should knock on the door.
There technically isn't a door and it's clearly magical. My assumption is that it's not knock activated. That would probably override the point of having it magical. If literally anybody could open it, then you would just have a hole or a door. The top two set of statues are clearly magical. Like, second of them even, like, maybe really, really cursed magic. There are traps in the ceiling. I don't know how to activate them. I don't know what the trigger is. So, do we want to start moving hands? See what happens?
I suppose, though I think whoever can avoid being near it should probably move away.
I mean, between me and Raoul, we're quite dodgy. Like, we might be able to get out of the way of whatever would happen.
Sounds fair. Zoltana and I can hang out further down the stairs.
Tell me, is there a set of statues every time? Like, are there two of each?
Yes. So,
okay.
Basically, as you take your first step up, there are two statues, one mm-hmm. on your left, one on your right. They have a weapon and armors each.
Yeah, okay.
As you go up to the next set of statues on your left and your right, they only have armor. Go up to the next set of statues, left and right, they only have weapons. Stepping up to the fourth set, they're basically naked. Mm-hmm. And then stepping up to the last set, it's just skeleton.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I was understanding that correctly. If me and Ral just, I don't know, like synchronize our movements on the hands, try to like just move them around a little bit, just see what happens.
Okay.
For now, give it a shot.
Let's just pull the my right, your left hand just straight down, I guess. Or maybe you should pull your right also. I don't know. Lafian, what do you think? Are the statues mirrored or are the statues the same?
One set of statues looks kind of suspiciously question mark a little bit like Sorin. The other set, you just don't recognize who they might be at all.
Okay. All right, let's just both pull down the weapon hand, see what happens. Yeah?
Have at it.
All right, on the first set of statues, Squash is going to take the left side, I guess, just to put a put Squash somewhere. And
okay.
If you're not into this plan, Neil, you need to tell me any other plan, because I am shooting in the dark like a crazy person.
Ron doesn't have a better plan.
I'm not happy with the situation either. I feel like we're touching a thermonuclear bomb, not understanding what the fuck we're doing.
All right, so which set of statues are you messing with? The weapons-only statues or the armor-only statue? Or
I think we're going to go for the first set of statues, just
the ones that have the weapons and the armor?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Give me a description of the statues again, V.
The first set of statues have weapons and armor.
Uh-huh.
The second set have armor only. The third set have weapons only. The fourth set are naked. And the fifth set are just skeletons. If you look in the backdrop on the Roll20, I wrote them in shorthand.
Yeah.
Okay, which one does it look like they're about to start touching?
Weapon and armor.
Maybe you want to try doing the ones that have the weapons with no armor.
You think they're not supposed to have weapons?
No,
maybe
just
we give the weapons to the skeleton ones, because this is Bellum, and they can fight.
Them. No, I don't. You're too focused on the skeleton thing. I know you're going to be a specter and all that, but that's not. The writing that I was just reading mentions armed only with our wits, but armed with weapons forged of the gods makes me think, okay, well, armed only with your wits tells me that you're not wearing any actual armor, just being clever, I suppose. Just humor me.
I can see the logic in that. Yeah, let's go for that. And out of game, I'm actually agreeing with Archer. I think he's right.
It didn't click until the third time you mentioned the statue descriptions, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Armed with only... the dots are lining up here.
All right, so Squash and Ral are going to move up to the third set of statues, the statues that are only holding weapons, not wearing armor. And are they like G.I. Joe characters? You can like move left and right hand, or only left hand, or only right?
You can move both arms.
Okay.
They have the same range of movement as like a human shoulder.
Let's push the weapons upwards, I guess. Like, just see what happens.
You both reach out. I'm assuming you're trying to do this at roughly the same time.
Yeah.
Squash, you find it difficult, but you can kind of like jump and shove them up a little bit. You're able to move the arms that hold the weapons like high into the air. And you do, in fact, hear a click. You feel a click inside the statues themselves. And you feel a slight rumbling and a shaking. And ahead of you, in the wall that was just a wall at the top of the staircase, you see a door.
And from the bottom of the stairs, you hear a, damn, I'm good.
Oh, wow, I need to make that more obtuse. No, you don't hear anything. She's fucked off.
You hear the sound of somebody clapping himself on the back.
Yeah. That was pretty, I'm pretty good. Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Good thing I figured that out. I can only imagine it gets worse from here.
Oh, boy. Yes. Okay. Squaws is going to move up the stairs, but he's keeping his eye on the two statues he felt magical presence from. This may have also activated them. They may just spring to life and start attacking us.
Are you moving up as a group, or are you sending Squaw off to die alone?
Well, when you phrase it like that...
The door that has appeared at the top of the staircase in the wall that was once just a wall. There's two very large wooden and engraved doors. There are kind of like what looks like very old patterns that have been carved into them. They don't seem to make any real sense. And Squash, you don't like activate any. Oh, this is magic stuff. Like nothing like that. It has a very large, like round brass handle. As you make your way to the top of the staircase, as you pass each of the statues' heads just turn to look at you. And then you see the skeleton. No, that's fine. Nothing happens.
Just I wave at the statues.
They're looking at you.
Hi.
I move the naked one's hand to a position where he can cover his shame.
No.
Okay. Neil? Neil? Are you sure you want to do that?
No, but VM is a goof. So now that you're getting serious, I don't want it's not
goof.
That important to me, actually.
The naked one doesn't do anything. It's fine.
Then yes, I do the goof.
As you move the hands, nothing whatsoever happens.
There's definitely like a glare from Squash when he sees move the head, like, move, stop it.
There, you're welcome.
You folks are the worst. I love you, but you're the worst. Okay, yeah, you find yourself at the top of the staircase. The only strange thing that happened other than Raoul is that the statue says turn to look at you. You find yourselves in front of the door.
Now there's a door if you want to. You can knock, Raoul.
Okay.
I've been sitting on this joke since you said that there was a door.
Okay, I will knock.
You could let me
you
do
knock.
It, because I'm Lord of the Doors.
Okay, you can knock.
No, it's okay, you can do it. I just wanted to make a point that I'm Lord of the Doors, because I feel like I haven't said it in, like, 30 episodes.
What is this episode everybody keeps talking about?
Whomever goes up to knock the door, just a couple of loud knocks emanate. Nothing else. There is no response.
Okay, well, it was worth a shot. We've stumbled into like two people's homes now, so we got like a track record. So better safe than sorry. And
I mean, yeah, I ain't got an argument against that. Alright, Squash is gonna either push or pull on the door depending on what the hinges tell him to do.
Oh my god, it looks like a push door.
Then Squash is gonna push.
Okay. Pushing the door open reveals a fairly wide, short corridor. On the left and on the right, it's not walls, it's a series of bookshelves. The spines of the book have all the same kind of leather and colour and structure to them. But if you kind of take a bit of a step to the side and look at them as a whole, you see that on the spines, looking at them as a whole, they make a picture. The picture on the left shows a woman walking by a fountain. And the following picture shows her unable to move. The following picture after that on the left shows a person walking by with trinkets piled high in their arms, walking past a statue, and then they too are held and bound to a stone. The third person walks past, nothing of metal in their arms. It shows a nod to the statue, and they walk free. The other side, on the spines of these books,
show one big picture, a set of scales. On one side of the scales, there is a picture of people embracing, obvious hearts drawn around them. And on the other side is a pile of trinkets. Straight ahead of you, you see there is a door, much similar to the door that you just passed through. There's no handle on it, though. But you do see next to the door a large statue head, a grotesque being, mouth slightly open.
So, I assume...
Squash is just looking around and he's going to start talking when he's done looking at a couple of things.
I assume that the pictures here on the right are trying to tell us that...
Kind of.
If we try to steal, there will be some kind of retribution. But it could also just be philosophy, like the Golden Cage story.
I mean, the left side here is very obvious on not carrying anything.
Yeah. Is the person naked or just not carrying anything?
They're just not carrying anything at all of any value in the last picture.
Thank you.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
It might be asking us to leave our weapons. And Squash thinks to himself, don't say out loud that Ral's fists are weapons.
Yeah, let me just take my head off while I'm at it.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, I'm not going to say it out loud in case the chamber doesn't know. You said there was a grotesque statue head on the other side. How big are we talking?
So directly opposite you is another door, very similar to the one behind you, but it doesn't have a handle.
Yeah.
To one side of that, there is a grotesque statue face carved into the wall with its mouth open.
How big is the statue?
It's just the head that's carved into the wall.
All right. Squash is gonna... No, I'm not going to drop all my weapons. Squash is just going to look to either one of the people that doesn't carry weapons, a lot of weapons usually. All right. I'm not going to cross the room holding all my stuff. So if you guys want to check out that statue head on the other side, it might have some indications of what we're supposed to be doing.
I'm wearing a lot of valuables, and I don't fancy stripping down in the middle of this hellscape.
Looks at Ral.
Okay, I can see if I can make the head not look at you or something.
Just check if it has any obvious markings, any slots or movable pieces. Maybe there's a gap behind the mouth, like in the mouth. Just don't stick your hand in there. Like if you have find a stick or something, like rather.
Okay, I'll go see.
Thank you.
And Rob will put all of his valuables down, of which there's probably not a lot of, but he'll take off his hoodie and stuff and all of his magical clothes and his belt. And, yeah.
We'll assume that Raoul is leaving any equipment behind.
Yeah, he still wears leg wrappings and
fine.
Stuff. So
yeah, of course. If you have to cover a statue, you have to cover the Raoul too. All right. You make your way along this fairly short corridor. At the end of it, yeah, you come face to face with the statue. The carving of the face in the wall. You can see that it has really sharp fangs. Now you're very, very close to it. The eyes are unnerving. It's almost like they're following you. It's just an illusion. It's not magic. It's just looks like they're following you everywhere you move. As you are there and you look into the mouth without putting your hand in, I'm assuming that's the look with the eyes, not with the hand.
Yep. Yeah.
Looking with the eyes and not with the hand, you can see that these teeth are also like inside the mouth too. And you can also see that probably a good arm's reach inside this mouth, you can see what looks like a small wooden handle.
Uh-oh. Ross gonna say hello to the statue.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi.
There's okay. No response, Ral.
Just wanted to check. He's like watching its eyes move and stuff. Yeah, there's a button in there, but there's a lot more teeth than is apparent when you look at it.
That's not good. Don't stick your hand in there.
Does it look like this lever can be activated? How does the lever work? Is it up and down? Is it?
It's like a...
What's going on here? What kind of a...
It's basically like a T-shaped handle. You'd have to basically grab hold of it and pull it towards you.
That's a pull.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you take one of your leg wrappings and try pulling it that way?
I'd still have to stick my hand in there.
What?
I would still have to stick my hand in there. I'm not going to yell in my house. We're all tired. He has exhaustion.
Squash, what did he say? I couldn't hear him.
My superior halfling hearing has...
Yeah, Squash, you wouldn't miss a fucking thing.
I'm sorry. We're clearly in a very giggly mood.
It's because okay. We all know we're about to die.
So, we have options. We could go over there and the four of us try to think of a way to hook onto the lever and pull on it. We could try to get Raul to do it through some mechanic, but I can't think of a good way. Like, Raul... I don't have any...
Raul casts Unseen Servant.
Okay. Can you link kinda, that for me?
Yeah, I can link that. And looks at it almost apologetically. It just shrugs his shoulders.
Because I know some of the unseen servants, some of the hand things that mages can do, you can't use on everything. So just want to check the special words. I would deem, since it has hit points, that it could attempt this.
Okay. Yeah, Raul kind of gestures at the lever, almost apologetically, but this he knows this isn't like a spirit. It says in the spell it's a mindless thing, you know?
Yes.
So he knows.
What form do you want it to take?
Not something that I would want to be mean to in this moment. So maybe just an invisible one would be great.
All right, yeah, fine.
Raul is definitely the kind of person who, like, when the toaster burns his toast and he kind of, like, angrily smacks it, later he apologizes to the toaster.
I'm so sorry, toaster. Yes, you summon a very invisible creature. And you gesture for it to pull the thing. I need you to make a straight d20 roll because it has no dexterity.
Ooh.
What did it end up with?
Nate? Natural 20.
Oh.
Let me see if that beats it.
At least it wasn't a hug this time.
Yeah.
Let's see.
150 episodes later.
It manages to do the thing. You see the handle being pulled towards you. You all hear a slight click and the door swings open ajar.
Okay, I don't know if that means it's safe or not, but something happened.
There's like a very faint blue glow coming from like the slightly ajar door.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to cross this fucking room because the pictures don't make it look like, oh, you're just going to get stabbed a little if you break the rules. The pictures make it look like you get petrified. You get assimilated by the rock. Like, I don't want that.
Well, no, it also specifies it looks like a fountain. So, I mean, there's no fountain here.
No, I have not seen a fountain. Have we seen anything that looks like this fountain from this picture in the entire place?
You might have seen like an old fountain like crossing the town, but it's not really similar in any way, shape, or form.
No, just incidental.
Yeah.
You want me to cover the statue's eyes in case it like does something? Seeing you walk over here with all of your things?
Well, do you see any sort of trap regions on it? I don't know how. Are there any holes that look like bad things could come out of it?
The worst thing about this like statue head that's carved into the wall are the very, very sharp teeth.
There's a lot of teeth.
Yeah, they're super sharp.
Okay, so we just need to hope it doesn't bite us then.
Okay, so if we're lucky, the pictures on either side are things that are coming up or alternative solutions to this room. If we're unlucky, they are warnings for this room and we fucked up already. Because I don't think anybody's hugged or wagers material against hugging or love. Like,
why did I take off all my clothes already?
We were assuming there was something bad in this room. just come back to us, Raoul. We're gonna need to make an assumption now. Maybe by pulling on the lever, we have now disengaged whatever trap that was. Maybe that trap's in a future room, or maybe the trap's still active. These are the three options we have. Two of the three options say that it's safe to cross the room. So odds are even, like, we're on average, we're doing better. This is some fucking math, but I'm making it.
You're not making sense here. What are you trying to get at?
We need to cross the room, and we need to make a decision if we're leaving our stuff behind or not.
Why don't we not until we deem it necessary that we do? There's no fountain. I don't think it has a precedent for requiring such thing.
Yes.
I quite like my armor, thank you. I'd rather keep it on. Paid a lot of good money for this.
So who's going to cross the room first?
Shall we draw straws? Unless Zoltana wants to claim the Lord of the Doors title once more.
If someone is petrified, who can fix it?
No, well, we have a fuck it from the goddess herself, so... After thou, your highness.
Who can fix it if we're made like that?
That depends on if it's truly petrification or not, in which case I can.
Okay.
What am I doing? I'm just going to step through a door.
Okay, so you just walk last, yes?
Yeah.
actually, let me make sure that I can.
In that case, Zoltana strides along this very short corridor.
Uh-oh, wait a minute, hold on.
You get to the door that has a faint blue glow coming from it now because it has been opened through the lever.
I can't fix petrification. I thought I could.
Well, that's lucky for you because, Zoltana, as you get to the door and you can see through the gap as you're about to swing it open, ahead of you, you can see a rectangular room. You can see that there are obviously benches around the edge of this room, and you can see a fountain in the center. That's all that you can really see through this like narrow, tiny little gap.
It's a room.
Good progress.
There's benches.
Also good.
I'm tired.
I should just fucking kick it open.
Go sit on the bench. Yeah, let me get my things.
Yeah, you go ahead while Raul puts his hoodie back on.
Okay. I'm gonna fucking kick the door open. No one told me not to.
Respectfully.
with immense power, this door gets like kicked backwards. And it just slams into like the side wall, almost knocking it off the hinges. But it doesn't close back on your face, even though that would be the perfect joke situation right here. You see the room properly now. For comedy, it swings back and hits you in the face, but we're not going for comedy today. You find, what you surmised was correct. You see a rectangular room. It's fairly large. Around the edges of this room, there are benches. And there is one other door that leads out. And it's not exactly opposite you, like right and straight in front of you, but it's kind of on the opposite wall at least. In the very center of this room is a fairly big fountain, and you can see that perched on the top of this fountain, the same kind of mottled grayish, greenish color that the fountain stone is made from, you see this corpsey looking water nymph. Same color, doesn't appear to be moved. It looks like it's been carved there. You notice that on the ground, the room, half of the room's floor is white and half of the room's floor is pink. Like a straight line that goes through the fountain area. You also feel a slight tugging on your armor.
Who's trying to get my armor off of me? I'm not feeling like that right now. Thanks.
Did you say all of us or?
Just Sultana. She's the only one at the door.
Okay. I guess it's safe to cross, so Squaws is going to follow after.
Yeah.
Ralph, very easy to get your hoodie back on. No problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even with those horns? I would have assumed it was a little bit tricky.
No.
Just a big head hole. Years of practice.
Okay, so we got a fountain room. Squash is going to look back at the pictures.
Any of you that is wearing any sort of metal or metal armor, Laffin, your crown predominantly, Squash, basically any of your bodies or weaponry, anyone wearing anything metal will feel that slight tug towards where the fountain is.
I'm assuming studded leather armor also gets tugged.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No! Sure. Fuck.
My belt.
Good point, Aethel. Thank you. For Ral, I think it's mostly your knuckle dusters that you'd feel
my belt.
The pull on. And your belt, yeah.
No, the belt's clearly leather. It's one like a sash.
One of which is on my tail, so...
Like,
my tail's just like
it's not like a WWE like championship belt. It's just a normal belt, right?
Oh, that's what I've been imagining in my head.
100%, by the way. Okay, I guess this is the part where we're not allowed to wear any metal, I guess.
I really don't like that.
I can't do that. I'm basically made of metal.
Can we put it all in the fancy bag?
Maybe.
Technically, it's another dimension. It's another plane.
I think, yeah. I think you could, but I think it depends on whether I think we've said before that you can basically fit anything in the bag. But there is a limit to the storage on that. Of course, you have no idea how much storage is left in Demi's bag, so. Yeah. You could try putting a dwarf armor in there if you really want.
Mine doesn't have all that much in it, so.
Yeah, yours should be pretty empty.
Squash is just going to put a single blade in the demi bag and then just swing it close to the door. Does it feel like the bag's getting pulled?
No.
Okay. All right. I guess the dimensional magic of the bags overrides whatever magic's in here, so we should be able to put our stuff in there. Sultana, I understand you don't want to take it off, but the room compels us.
Mostly the room can compel you guys, and I'll just be uncomfortable while we're in here. If something fucking attacks us, I don't want to be vulnerable.
I think the problem is that you might be just as vulnerable if you're paralyzed or petrified or whatever it is this fountain seems capable of.
I'm going to test something. I'm going to get a coin out and roll it into the room. I want to see the momentum and the strength this thing has closer to the fountain itself. You see what I'm saying?
Roll that better be a copper piece.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you in fact toss it Ovalio Plenty?
I'm still going Ovalio
Plenty.
So we're calling the nymph a witch now.
Witch.
Yeah, lose whatever currency you are going to throw.
Sure.
Lose at least one of those. As you kind of like roll this across the floor, it goes and you see it veer very slightly towards the fountain. But as soon as it crosses that line on the floor where it goes from like the white floor to the pink, as soon as it crosses the pink, it just smashes into the fountain and stays there.
Hmm.
Okay. That gives us a lot more information.
So right. It's magnetized.
Yes.
I think in most settings it's like lodestone, I think they're called.
That's a good name.
God, yeah, that fountain
I think magnets
is loaded.
Are referred to as lodestone.
It has a certain attraction to it, yes.
Oh no. What have I done?
Fuck you guys, you did this to me. This is the monster you created.
And I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, you're going to get pulled into that and drown. How long can dwarves breathe in the water?
1 minute plus the amount of constitution as rounds.
More than me, then.
What was it? You know what happens when you put a dwarf in the water? Same thing as happens to everything else.
It gets wet. We get wet when we go in the water.
Okay.
Yeah, you have something you want to say about that, Aethor?
I've got no comments. I'm just going to get back to the puzzle.
I'm just going to start setting up shit for Aethor and seeing how much I can do. I'm so sorry for this, you guys, but this is happening. Anyway.
I'm not. This is funny.
I'm putting all my things in the fancy bag.
I'll put my fucking armor in the fancy bag. Fine.
Before we do that, how much of the floor is... you said it went from pink to white or from white to pink the closer we got to the fountain?
So essentially half the room is pink. Mm-hmm. The side... like opposite you, the side that has the opposite wall with the door out, mm-hmm. everything this side, like your side of the fountain, that's white. The fountain sits basically bang smack in the middle of this room, and the floor changes like basically right. where that halfway point in the fountain is.
Okay, so it doesn't radiate out from the fountain; it cuts the room in half. All right.
Yes.
All right. Yep. Squash is going to shove all his cool gear and all his cool magic stuff and his armor and everything in the bag.
Yeah, all of your stuff will fit in Demi's. That's fine.
And I do the same with mine. I have to take my ring off and my cloak doesn't have any metal on it, does it?
I'm going to say cloaks don't, no. I mean, they may have like a tiny little like brooch pin, but that's not enough to pull that. The same with Zoltana's necklace with the wedding ring or your wedding ring. Like that's not going to get pulled.
Okay, so my super magic onyx ring I don't have to worry about?
Nope, you can keep those.
Okay.
Do you say your wedding ring is in Laffian's wedding ring? When the fuck did that happen?
No, my brain switched from one to the other very quickly. I'm very sorry.
No, because mine's the ring that you made me, not the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, onyx is not pulled by this.
Okay, so I'm going to just have to take off my armor and put my weapons in my bag because I do have weapons. I just never used to use them. And my crown.
So, I assume that maybe this room just means the fountain picture in the room before.
Right.
And then probably in the next room, there's going to be a bunch of stuff. And we're not supposed to steal it.
But we can.
I'll do my best, guys.
But we can play with it, yes?
The fountain?
The stuff.
I wouldn't... touch it unnecessarily, unless that's necessary.
Maybe it's so, useful yeah. stuff.
No, Raul. No, it's just... This is your trial. Why are you trying to sabotage us?
That's what the trial's about. Raul is self-sabotaging.
He has to overcome his self-sabotaging ways.
No, he has to overcome Neil's self-sabotaging ways.
Raul must disconnect himself from his creator so that he may live happily ever after.
All right, so all your things have been metal or yeah. otherwise have been taken off and put inside the various bags. Cool. Now what do you want to do?
Squash is going to step into the room.
Yeah. You step into the room. Can I have you?
God damn it.
Nope. I'm not doing anything.
All right. You said there was a statue. Forgot.
There's iron and blood. Oh no. Squash is ripped apart.
I should have eaten that steak.
My kidney.
Oh my God.
Squash is. You said the statue had like a carving of a water nymph on top of it? Or?
Yeah. So it's basically. Like a kind of grayish, greenish stone that make up this like really simple fountain. There's like a little bit of water spraying out. On the very top of this, kind of perched, like, you know, hands between the feet sort of thing, just perched over the top. You see this kind of what should be a very beautiful looking nymph. Long wavy hair and like large round eyes, a smiley face. But it's very obvious this is a corpse. There are bits of the flesh missing. You can see that there are, you know, droops and parts missing. Take a perception check for me.
All right.
I guess there can be bones in the stalking. We're not stalking. We're in Bellum.
25.
Yeah, close enough. As you kind of like give a glance up to this statue, you. I think you see her eye kind of like twitch a little.
Squash is gonna go back to the crew and just quietly go like, the thing on top of the statue is maybe alive.
I'm not surprised.
I am.
I know your first instinct, Ral, is to go and say hi to it, but it does look. Relatively menacing and scary, so maybe not engaging with it would be a good idea, but maybe that's a bad idea and we should say hi to it. It will attack us if we're rude. So I'll leave this one up to you.
I assume it lives here.
Probably.
Yeah. That's all I've got.
Okay.
I'll say hi, though.
Okay.
Go ahead. We've got your back as a bunch of half-naked people can be.
Okay. You're not going to stop me from saying hi, and it seems like a task now that I'm being set on.
No, I'm sorry. Let me set the mood for you, Rawl. Rawl, no, stop. What are you doing? Don't do that.
All right. So, Rawl, you're stepping into the room?
Yes, I'm going to pay attention to this thing and walk up to it and see if it's responsive at all, I guess. Start with a little wave.
What are you... Oh, it's just going to wave? Make the persuasion roll?
Yeah, okay. Sounds great.
I believe in you, Rawl. I believe in you.
Persuasion, huh? That's not very good. Oh, man, it's super not good, actually. Oh.
Should have gone for kicking.
What did you get?
No, I should have... I haven't rolled yet. I'm just very disappointed that I have to roll with disadvantage because I have a level of exhaustion.
Oh, yeah, that. I remember.
It's a 6.
Great time.
Oh, man.
There's no reaction whatsoever.
I assume that it probably only attacks you if you enter the fountain. Water nymph, territorial... the magic will pull you towards the fountain and incapacitate you, especially if you're wearing armor. That's my assumption.
Rawl looks into the fountain.
Looking into the fountain, like, you can see that there are like a few coins of all different types. Like, some of them look like really, really old and ancient coins. Some of them look fairly new. You can also see that there are sometimes small trinkets instead of coins, like little... tiny jade, like keep knots and that sort of thing. You can also see that actually, like, one of the small items in there is just a book. It's kind of long disintegrated, but you can see the remains of such. You see that in the bottom of the fountain.
There's stuff in it.
Squash is like walking up to Rawl to look into the fountain. Like, wait, why is there a book in there? That shouldn't have anything metal in it.
Maybe the book was about metal.
It's a book about metallurgy.
Says on the back of the...
Written in blood?
Says on the spine it was written by Rob Zombie or something.
Oh, mate.
No, it's written by Metallica.
Hey!
God damn it.
A metal book by Metallica.
All right. The worst. You don't see any really other reaction from her when you just comment on the things in the... Like,
okay. I'm gonna look back at the artist drawings from the room before. That means Aethos looking back at the text.
I'm gonna sit up against the fountain, kind of like a bench, but not be in it or even close to in it, like on the floor, outside of it.
There are actually also benches around the edge of the room.
Great.
You can sit on those.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I'm going to be kind. I'm going to remind you all, you're not stepping into the pink section unless you say you are, because that'll be a dick move on my behalf. So, until you figure out what it is you want to do.
I mean, it's not like... We've put all our stuff away. Is there really much concern then walking into the room?
No,
or
sorry.
Walking to the
pink
side, I should say.
No, I think my brain's just running away with me. I started thinking that maybe we needed to do offerings. The book part is just kind of throwing me off. I think, Squash says as he looks back into the other room, I think we just have to acknowledge the existence of the nymph and then move on, I think. Because the person in the picture clearly seems to be looking at the nymph. They seem to be greeting it or something.
Makes sense.
So, yeah. Squash is just going to nod at the nymph and move to the pink side. Don't fucking kill me, V. Don't you dare.
Are there any more decorations on things?
Not really. It's only the door.
Okay.
That's it, really. There's nothing carved into the statue. Into the nymph. There's nothing carved into the fountain. There's nothing carved in the floor. It's just the door on the other side. You step into the pink section, and since you are not wearing any metal, you don't feel any effects.
Are you dead?
No, I'm alive and I'm just thinking. I think you're allowed to cross the room if you give something you like. Squash walks back to them. I think the left side of the other room, the picture of the scale with people loving and a trinket on the other side. I think that's the reference to sacrificing something you like to the thing. I don't know why you would do it. I don't know what purpose that has, but I think that's what it's indicating.
Well, but the imagery is of a scale, not a fountain for that one.
Yeah. I'm just... Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I may be connecting things that aren't connected. Anyway, I think we can just cross as long as we're not holding anything metal and, again, acknowledge the nymph. And Squash nods at the nymph and then walks back to the pig side.
Take a persuasion check.
Oh, no. Persuasion check. I'm not particularly good at those. That was a 15.
Okay. I'll bear that in mind. You move to the other side of the room.
Like, okay.
Guess we just keep going then.
Raoul, Lafian, and Zoltana, if you are walking past, acknowledging the nymph with a head bump or quick hello, or whatever it is you
good
want
time
to
zone.
Minor acknowledgement.
Yes.
Good time zone. Good greetings. You also have to roll a persuasion roll.
Oh, good. 19.
Uh-huh.
Why are you saying that? Why did you say a Harvey? What is that?
Uh-uh.
12. Still have disadvantage.
Uh-huh.
That was also a 12.
You are all on the other side of the room.
Woo!
All right.
There was a door there, if I remember correctly, the description?
Mm-hmm.
Squash is going to try to push it open.
It's locked.
No!
After oh no, a locked door. Whatever shall we do? If only we had a master thief of some sort.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're right, actually. I did catch you with the you know, that rod that
Aren't,
you tried
like,
to steal.
Aren't thieves' tools made of metal, though?
Hmm?
Aren't thieves' tools made of metal, though?
Oh. We're still on the pink side. Oh, you fiend.
If I get really long...
like knitting needles.
okay. Give me a second.
You see the nymph's head just very slowly turn to look at you, like an unnatural turn, like an owl.
Hi.
We're just trying to figure it out. We'll leave as soon as we can. Squaws is going to think to himself, he's going to reach into Demi's bag and he's going to think to himself, basically just wood.
Fuck.
I know that's not fair to throw your way, but alas.
No, it's fine.
Now, don't you...
You think wood, and as you pull your hand out of the bag, you find a set of wooden earrings that are carved into the shape of spears.
Why would you give me the perfect fucking thing, Wee?
They're tiny, dude.
Ah. But like...
They're earrings, dude. Yeah, they're true. Like really small.
Yeah, true. Is there a keyhole on the door? No. All right, Squash is going to return the tiny spear and wooden earrings back into the bag. Thank you for that, Lee.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I will be referencing it back for these in 30 episodes.
I'm not going to remember this. It's almost 2 a.m, I won't remember shit.
You know, maybe you actually had a thought with having to give up something then.
Yeah. Squash is going to walk over back to the other side, open up the bag, pull out a golden coin and toss it in the fountain.
As you walk back across, like mm-hmm. the nymph's head turns to follow you. And when you throw the coin in, she kind of like stands up and she kind of like opens her arms wide and she smiles at you and she says, "Ah, so one of you have gotten this. Treasure or love? Take your pick."
Hi everyone, Ral here. Thank you for listening to the episode. As usual, we hope you've enjoyed. Big thanks to patron Aurora. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you. If you'd like to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at TLDpod. You can find us on patreon.com/blighthouse. And stay tuned for a show we've been working on behind the scenes at Blighthouse now for a while called The Sprouting. We are very excited to bring this out for everyone, so... They told me to tell you that the show is going to be really scary, so I probably will have to leave the room. But for everyone looking for something mysterious and scary, maybe this one's for you, huh? It's an
With your long-forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.